Chapter 4. The first thing that Jared was aware of was a couple dozen tiny, razor-sharp needle teeth digging into his ear, over and over again. Gah! He jerked his head up, sleep dissolving quickly into daylight as he twisted away from whatever it was that was attempting to eat him. Of course, it wasn't much of a mystery. Once he managed to shake off the haze of deep sleep and get a grip on his surroundings, it wasn't the first time he'd woken up getting gnawed on. He shook his head, rubbing a paw across his nose, his ear throbbing with every heartbeat. When Jared begrudgingly opened his watery eyes, he was met with the expected sight of Tristan sitting on the floor of their tent, gazing up at him expectantly. Jared let out a long breath, and Tristan scooted back, rear end wiggling in excitement as he chirped. "Aren't you bright-eyed and bushy-tailed?" Jared drawled, and Tristan chirped again in agreement, bouncing down into a crouch, his tail going back and forth twitchily. Jared just huffed and shook his head, the kitten having far too much energy for so early in the morning, especially when Jared had to spend the night out hunting. The way he lived had changed pretty dramatically over the last couple of months, working a whole new person into his life. At first, it hadn't been too tough, just a little bit awkward. After all, Tristan had been tiny, helpless. He was blind and deaf, and when he did move, it was a pretty pathetic crawl. Most days, all the kitten wanted to do was sleep and poop, and boy did he. And Jared could easily zip up the tent, leaving the cub in safety while he went to go hunt. Which, hunting was more interesting in and of itself. He had to take down enough to feed both himself and Tristan now, which meant he had to catch something every day, even if it was small. And his now full teats didn't exactly make running and pouncing grand fun. It was easy to see why cats in the wild had mates for this. As it was, Jared suffered through, taking down whatever small prey he could get his paws on, but he couldn't help but notice how much thinner he'd gotten as the weeks progressed. Still, even if he couldn't help but notice it, he could at least ignore it. As for the nursing itself, he did eventually get used to it. Yes, it was uncomfortable and awkward, and that old sick feeling never quite went away. But he adjusted, and it sank into the background. Besides all of that, he couldn't deny that his body seemed to get an age-old sense of contentment from feeding the kitten, like it was fulfilling a role it had been meant for. The thought wasn't a pleasant one, wasn't one that Jared enjoyed, but he tried to take some comfort in it. In the end, Tristan needed him, was smaller and more helpless than Jared, and it distracted him from his own problems. Because even with all the crap weighing on his mind these days, he hadn't been sent down a river in a basket with his dead siblings. And Jared had considered other options at first. He'd considered going up to the Blue Ridge Pride, or even into town with the kitten, but nothing ever quite panned out, despite all his planning. After all, he'd avoided the local pride for a reason, and going up there just seemed like a bad idea all around. At the same time, though, it wasn't like he could just take a werecat cub down to Bryson and give him over to some humans. They wouldn't have the first idea what to do with him. Jared didn't think himself particularly experienced, but he already knew the failures of living as a human. Giving Tristan over to them would just be Jared's childhood all over again, and he couldn't stand the thought of being the person to start that. With nowhere to go and nothing else to do, and with his body determined to provide the life-giving milk that Tristan so needed, it seemed like he didn't have much of a choice. He'd decided to keep the kitten. It wasn't a permanent solution, of course. The cub had been too small and weak to travel anywhere, and Jared had the ability to help. He was just making the only moral choice, Once a better option opened up, Jared would take that. After all, it wasn't as if the kitten would stay there forever. It was just stasis until Jared could figure something else out. Once he came to that conclusion, it had just become a matter of figuring things out. Thankfully, even though babies didn't come with instruction manuals, it turned out they were fairly straightforward. Tristan would cry when he was hungry, letting Jared know to shift and bear his belly, the weak little cub crawling in close and suckling until he fell asleep, usually with his mouth still loosely wrapped around a nipple. He'd go to the bathroom whenever and wherever he pleased. And Jared so wasn't cleaning that up the natural way, so he used rags to mop up any mess made. For the first month, Tristan's needs pretty much came down to that. He'd curl up to sleep against Jared, and Jared eventually gave in to instinct, shifting his head to curl his long tongue over the kitten's body, rough hairs on its surface smoothing out that baby fur, a sleepy warmth building in him, a protectiveness over that one tiny little body so very dependent on him. Someone in the world with a life even more fucked up and needy than Jared's. By the end of the second month, though, things weren't so simple. Tristan's eyes had opened a few weeks ago, slow and winking as the flesh slowly split, eventually revealing those two big baby eyes. Eerily blue, though Jared knew that would fade with time. His fur began to thicken, his coat coming in, whirled and fluffy, and his muscles strengthened until he could actually stand up by himself. Unfortunately, his little teeth were also coming in strong, which meant that nursing sensations recently meant a lot more biting and a lot less suckling. Jared could still tell that the kitten wasn't ready for solid food yet, though, so it wasn't really something he could do anything about. Also unfortunate was the fact that with development came more freedom, and it wasn't as easy to just zip the tent up and leave Tristan for a few hours at a time. Sure, the kitten didn't have hands and had the collective intelligence of a mole rat, but that didn't stop him from barreling around the tent, scratching and biting and just generally making a huge mess. One day, Jared had returned from an unsuccessful hunt to find that Tristan had somehow managed to flip the tent over completely, apparently using it as some kind of giant hamster ball. After that, Jared had taken to making sure the munchkin was settled and asleep for the night before heading out. It meant that Jared only got a few hours of sleep a night, but at least when he came home, his campsite didn't look like a whirling dervish had spun through. It was becoming more evident, with each passing day, that Tristan wasn't so little and helpless anymore, and Jared needed to make some kind of decision. The time for that better option was fast approaching, and if it had already arrived, well, Jared just put it off until tomorrow, even if he decided to put it off until tomorrow every day. And just like every morning for the past couple of weeks, Jared woke up to being pounced on, bitten, scratched, or just generally assaulted by an overly rambunctious kitten. "Remind me again why I saved your life," he groused, managing to stretch his paws out and yawn before Tristan padded around to his stomach, nosing in enthusiastically, and Jared jumped a little when he felt the eager nips of a hungry cub. "Christ, ow! Calm down, dude!" Jared thwumped down on his side in defeat, letting out a long breath as he relaxed into their morning ritual, feeling the rhythmic pressure of Tristan's paws kneading against his teat, pushing the warm milk out into his mouth. No, it still didn't feel great, but Jared couldn't say he hated it. Not anymore. A few minutes later found him steadily purring, twisting his head around to bathe his cub while Tristan nursed, patiently smoothing down the cub's unruly fur with his tongue. Jared winced a little when the bathing made Tristan's kneading a little more enthusiastic, but he didn't stop. By the time Tristan was full, a little lump with a distended belly, purring thickly, Jared felt vaguely awake. He knew that the post-nursing stupor only lasted so long. He shifted into his human form on a breath, reaching one large hand down to gently rub the kitten's loose fur before pushing himself up onto his feet, unzipping the tent and stepping out into the daylight. He stretched his long arms up over his head, groaning as he yawned. Padding around the campsite, scratching the back of his neck, he took stock. He'd managed to dig down after a mole last night, but his ravenous appetite hadn't left much to him in the morning. The minute he'd hauled the varmint up, his jaws had worked frantically to tear it apart, gnashing through muscle and bone, eating both and leaving nothing but a hind leg to eat in the morning. A hind leg that he'd ended up consuming on the way back to camp. His stomach groaned piteously, and he ran a hand over it. It was smooth and taut, a little hollowed out, and when he traced his palm upwards, he could feel the gentle curve of his lowest ribs. It was getting harder to get up in the mornings, wearied out and sleepy, his body constantly running on empty. But he felt a surge of irrational pride, a sense that everything was okay with the world, even when it was so clearly not. When he watched Tristan toddle out of the tent, fat and perfect, his middle round like a baseball. If things kind of sucked for Jared, they at least sucked for a good reason. "Hey, little man," he greeted, and the were-cub looked up at him, pre-verbal and unable to talk in any way, but still possessing that spark of intelligence. Tristan looked similar to a regular cougar cub, but even if it weren't for the extra long tail that signaled his status as a werecat, and the small frill on his neck and forehead, Jared would know just from the way Tristan watched him, always trying to figure things out. His insatiable curiosity. There was that light of sentience, self-awareness, in his gaze. The mark of a thinking creature. So Jared made sure to talk to him a lot. "So what are we doing today?" he asked. It was surprisingly easy to hold a conversation with someone who couldn't talk back. Jared had always had a bit of a motor mouth, and he was charming enough that no one had ever really tried to convince him to stop. But he was at least used to a conversation going both ways. With Tristan, though, it was just Jared's voice echoing through the clearing. Jared didn't know when were-cubs went through their first shift, but unless he was doing something wrong, which was a disquieting and distinct possibility, it wasn't yet, because Tristan had remained a little fuzzball for the entirety of his stay with Jared. All the same, he knew Tristan understood him, or at least somewhat. Like any 2-month-old, he didn't seem to really grasp concepts, but when Tristan had managed to sneak away one day, down to the danger of the rushing river, Jared's panicked yell had managed to stop the cub mid-step into the powerful water. Sure, when Jared tried to explain the danger of walking into a fast-flowing river, Tristan just tilted his head to the side. But he at least seemed to understand frantic wordless mom yell, which was enough in Jared's book. The morning signaled the beginning of Tristan's playtime, exploring his way around the clearing as if something had changed, sniffing at all the things he'd sniffed 100 times before and jumping back whenever he tried to sniff Jared's cooking pot, convinced in some way that it was alive. Once the sniff inspection was over, it was on to leaf chasing, the cub pouncing on this leaf or that one, completely arbitrarily it seemed, kicking up things and then chasing after whatever was kicked up. The only important part of the game appeared to be the need to run rapidly from one end of the clearing to another, oftentimes tripping over his own paws to get there. Jared managed to nap during the morning, his usual ritual. He never quite slipped past a doze while listening to Tristan's endless leaf pouncing, but even that was welcome. Jared's mind wandered hazily through dreams, 2-story houses and smoke drifting lazily out of chimneys, memories of a different kind of winter, one without tents and cold and the fear of the night. Every couple of minutes his eyes would blink open, and the world would come in fuzzy, reassuring him that he was still there and that Tristan was safe. And then he would drift again, mind slinking away to an awkward hush, drowned out by the white noise of the river. His stomach began to cramp, but that wasn't what woke him up. It was the steady pass of a rough tongue on his nose, making him wrinkle it as he tried to blink the film from his eyes. When his vision steadied, wobbly with sleep deprivation, he saw Tristan's big nose in front of his face, followed by his big eyes that had settled from their intense baby blue to a deeper sea green as the weeks had gone on. And the kitten made a sound like marp. Jared huffed. "All right, I'll give you that," he said, rolling over onto his stomach, pulling his arms under himself to push his shoulders up. "You're pretty cute." He lifted a hand to rub the top of Tristan's head, watching the kitten bat at his arm uselessly, and Jared chuckled. The sound died out, though, when he felt something strange, something both new and yet familiar, shift and tickle at the edge of his consciousness. Something that he hadn't felt in 2 years, and never from this source. It wasn't a word, really. It wasn't a word because Tristan didn't know the word yet, but he knew the concept, knew it innately. It was a burst of thought and color, the very center of an idea of a thing, something so fundamental that it couldn't be mistaken. It didn't have the hidden meanings of a word, didn't have a history or a context. It had no connotation or ability to be misunderstood. It was more basic than that. It just was. It sparkled across whatever mythical connection werecats seem to have with one another, and Jared heard it, or felt it. "Mother," the thought whispered, and Jared sucked in a breath. Oh, shit. There was no doubt about it. Jared couldn't just wait for a better option to present itself. He couldn't ignore the problem until tomorrow. His cub was growing up, and if Jared waited any longer, he'd never be able to give him up. 2 days later, the campsite was as cleaned up and packed away as it was going to get, Jared securing the folded-up tent in a tree for when he returned. His things were either buried or tied down, protected from animals and the elements until he got back. He packed up whatever clothes he could fit into his pack, an activity that burned in his memory, all too familiar as his hands stuffed the fabric into the only pack he'd been able to find that he could slip onto his body as a cat, searching through the meager selection of bags in Walmart that night. It was a little worn now, a little more beat up, but it still functioned. He didn't think of the campsite as home, really. It was the place he came back to, the place he rested and ate in, and sure, it was the only real place he'd been in the last 2 years, the only place he could conceivably call home, but he had never really thought of it like that. Not, at least, until he was standing there, ready to leave. His hazel eyes drifted over the clearing, its floor of multicolored leaves and ceiling of branches and verdant green. The fire pit was a dark spot in the center, filled in but still obvious. And how many meals had he cooked for himself there? How many nights spent shivering and warming his hands? The trees, old and thick, had borne testament to his time here, so long in his own memory, but for them just the blink of an eye, the shift of a branch in the wind. There was a possibility he wouldn't be coming back here. There was no way to predict how the Blue Ridge Pride would receive him. All he'd ever heard about wild werecats was that they were more cat than man. Feral creatures that reacted with violent instinct. He'd never considered the option of going to them before. Not until now, with a kitten at his feet and him no worthy parent. He wondered what life would be like for Tristan there, if he'd grow up as vicious and wild as the others, or if he'd remember, distantly, his wet nurse. In the end, though, even feral, Tristan would still be free. He'd have a chance, and Jared, as much as he hated to admit it, loved the cub enough to want that for him. Growing up with a human-raised headcase like Jared wasn't what Tristan deserved, and leaving him to humans would just turn him into as much of a headcase as Jared was. There was nothing else to it, really. Jared lowered his head, Tristan pouncing his way through the leaves until Jared's nose bumped him. The cub paused, turning on ridiculously huge paws to look up at him, trilling in his throat.
"Brr?"
he asked, long tail twitching back and forth. "Come on, little guy," Jared urged softly, purring as his tongue worked over Tristan's head. He stretched down, teeth grasping the scruff of Tristan's neck to lift him up. "Time to take you back where you belong." There wasn't anywhere in the world that Jared belonged, really. Not home with his family, and not here in this memoryless clearing. It was just the only place that would have him. And if the Blue Ridge cats didn't tear him apart, here was where he'd return.